Welcome once again, my friends. Today we present part two of Aborting the Spirit, a presentation of Battle Site for Christ.
I think I've heard about them all. I was too sick. I was prepared. I wasn't prepared to have a child. I can't give him a godly life.
His father abandoned me. I was drinking at the time. He might have been born or deformed because of it.
And this one really sums them all up.
It was an accident.
Oh, police! Stand up, folks! When you drive a car within the required speed limit, it's possible that you may have an accident. But when you drive a car at 120 miles per hour, you end up in a wreck. It's no accident! Tell me, Mom, do you fear fetal deformities or handicaps? Dr. Edward Koop, internationally known pediatric surgeon at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, had this to say. Some of the most unhappy children whom I have known have all their physical and mental faculties. And on the other hand, some of the happiest youngsters have borne burdens which I myself would find very difficult to bear. Unquote. Quality of life is determined by accommodation to suffering, not avoidance of it. Quality of life is determined by accommodation to suffering, not avoidance of it. Is that not what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10? Jesus said unto Paul, after Paul had asked the Lord three times to remove the thorn in his flesh, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul responded to this by saying he would therefore most gladly glory in his infirmities. In fact, he said he took pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and persecutions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, he said. Wow. How is it with you, brother? How is it with you, sister? I remember when I had this terrible flesh disease. It was the worst physical infirmity I had ever experienced. For about 9 months, my entire body was victimized by a rare and even deadly form of a psoriasis. I wasn't just the... it just wasn't the excruciating itch day in and day out, but there were chilblains and numerous other complications. No matter what, I couldn't get warm. I was always cold. In the middle of summer, I was freezing. I piled on the clothing, shirts, sweaters, coats. Nothing worked. It was the middle of summer. And I was freezing. The doctor gave me this emollient cream and a prescription for another ton of it. I had to apply it three times a day to my entire body to help subdue the itch and dryness. Then my lower legs began to swell. Then my feet and my hands. Soon a thick layer of callus formed on the soles of my feet and on the palms of my hands. When I walked, I couldn't even feel the bottoms of my feet touch the floor. I couldn't hold small items in my hands. Then the soles of my feet and the palms of my hands began to crack
and bleed. This shedding process had begun. I started losing my hair. It was falling out from all over my body. This would be repeated about every 6 weeks. The swelling, the thick layer of callus, the rupture of the skin, followed by bleeding and pronounced pain, and the itch, oh, the unrelenting itch. Every night, I had to flee my bedroom so my dear wife could sleep. Bless her, Lord. She was there for me when I needed her most. How she would grimace when I would lay my swollen, bleeding feet upon her knee as she gently soothed each painful rupture with emollient cream. The swelling got so bad, I couldn't even wear shoes or boots. Sandals were all I could walk in. People looked at me in awe. I had aged beyond my time. My dear wife, she suffered right alongside of me. God bless her. More than a few times, she would say to me, "How can you stand it?" And each time my reply was always the same. "I can't. If it weren't for the grace of God, I would surely lose my mind." My condition deteriorated. The doctors were at a loss. It was around the end of July. I had promised my wife we would travel to see our daughter in Ontario to visit relatives. I'll never forget. It was at a small gas station outside of Whitby, Ontario. Needless to say, my countenance was somewhat diminished, for I had not shaved in several days. My face was akin to a boiled lobster. Add to this a new twist to my condition. My eyelashes had literally turned inside out, so that the lashes were sticking to my eyes. When I entered the service center, the girl behind the counter looked at me as though I was going to rob her and immediately retreated, allowing for a burly sort to give me the instructions that I sought to get my way to Aurora. A specialist, a dermatologist, performed a biopsy on my back, but the results were inconclusive. Nobody knew for sure what was attacking my body. But God knew. Yes, Almighty God knew exactly what was wrong. And not only did he know what it was, but more importantly, he knew why it was happening. Ever think of making a deal with God? Well, it may not be in your best interests, because, well, I don't think God likes to cut deals. Now, you must understand, I didn't say God wouldn't make a deal. It's just not perhaps the best way to do business with our Lord and Holy Father. Besides, what have we got to offer? What can we offer him that's worth anything that he just can't reach down and take? Oh God, I promise that if you give me a new car, I'll stop smoking. Oh, come on. I don't think cigarettes are a good bargaining tool with the great Creator or with anybody. Well, Lord, if you take away my pimples, I'll promise to go to church every Sunday. Smooth out a few. Smooth out the wrinkles around my eyes, and I'll even go to church on Wednesdays. Wrong bargaining tool. Pride ain't gonna do it, folks. Well now, let me see. As I recall, prior to my illness, I too tried to meet God at the bargaining table. None of my families were saved at this time. Most of them thought I was some kind of fanatical nut. They said I was a dime short and an hour late, and I wasn't firing on all pistons. Then, believing on the power of the Lord, as I recall, I opened my big mouth and said, "Lord, I'd rather suffer whatever it takes to see even one member of my family get saved." My friends, whether I realized it or not, at the time I had made a covenant with my Lord. Now, I don't know if I have that right to make a covenant with Almighty God, but I want to tell you, friends, you had better be careful of what you pray for. You can give up smoking, amen, the Lord will bless you for it. You can give up drinking, amen, the Lord will bless you for that. You can give up lying and stealing and cussing, amen, the Lord will bless you. And when you give up yourself, then I mean to tell you, brother, I mean to tell you, sister, then you are doing business with the Lord. Oh, yes. Almighty God is in the business of saving souls. That's why He gave us Jesus. Yes. Almighty God can do it all. There's no sin too black that He can't make white by using the red. There's no soul walking about on the face of His creation that can't have a mansion in glory if but they come clean for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Amen. And you know what? There's not one aborted child left outside the gates of heaven. My friends, I believe in the power of Almighty God. More things are possible than this world dreamed of if you have faith in God. I remember how when Job was covered with boils and all seemed hopeless, his wife said, "Curse God and die." But no, Job said, "Though worms may eat this body, yet in my flesh will I see God." Dear friends, I remember my dear wife saying to me, "Tom, I don't know how you can take it." And I said, "I can't, praise the Lord. I can't, but His grace is sufficient." She just shook her head and went back to bed. Left me in a fetal position on the living room couch, shivering like a scared puppy left out in the cold. I mean to tell you, people, you could have aborted me right there and then. The Lord could have called me home, but praise God, He didn't cause. He didn't. Because He had other things planned for me. But first, He was going to show me His almighty power. Members of my family started getting saved. My sons and their families. I looked at the Lord and said, "Hallelujah! Praise be unto the Lamb!" But it didn't stop. Then another got saved. And another, and another. Within about 3 years, 18 family folk got saved. And there's some more coming. I just know the Lord in His wonderful mercy ain't going to stop there. When the Lord God starts handing out blessings, they just keep on flowing. Now, my friends, I want to make this perfectly clear. I don't believe for 1 minute that I'm anybody special. I'm just a lowly sinner saved by grace. I don't believe in anything I've done was directly in alliance with all the people getting saved. For Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. I only know that God's grace was sufficient, and He gave me the desires of my heart. And He's still doing it today. If He'll do it for me, friends, I want to tell you, He'll do it for you.
is just a faith call away. We're still talking about abortion, friends. Not just fetal abortion, but abortion of the Spirit of God. How do you abort the Spirit of God? Since you can't lose your salvation, you simply cut him out of your life. You see, folks, if you're saved, your body becomes a temple of God, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence. Now, the Holy Spirit can't function properly in an unclean vessel. You got to sweep the garbage and the dust bunnies clean out the door. You got to abort the old man, that couch potato, that good-for-nothing, devil-pleasing, loyal loafer. You got to clean house. You have a guest, and all things have to become new. And if you don't help, if you don't keep his house clean, you're going to grieve him. It's the same things, friend. When the woman becomes pregnant and that precious new life takes up residence in her womb becomes a different kind of temple that will shield and shelter the child God has allowed to reside within. It's a child conceived in sin, but a child who knows no sin. And friends, I believe with all my heart that every aborted child enters heaven's gates the very moment the murdering hands snuff out its precious unborn life. You see, friends, I believe that these children of fate are children of destiny. Although they've never been born a first time, they are genuinely born again. The grace and mercy of God is boundless. Praise God for his eternal love. King David said so well when he lost a child below the age of spiritual accountability. In his grief, he said, "You cannot come to me, but I can go to you." Who do you suppose planted the seed of hope in David's head? In days of yore, morality didn't have to be an offshoot of religion. It was the religion. Today, the law of the land has separated them. In the beginning, God created woman to be a helpmeet for man. Man would be the head. He would shoulder the overall responsibility of the home. He had to answer to God for his home, for his family. Man was created in God's image. And now, today, just as it was in the Garden of Genesis, that old serpent, the devil, the prince of the power of the air, got to the weaker vessel again and turned what God had intended inside out. He said, "Woman, you don't have to live like this, always a servant, never a master. Yea, hath God said?" You could say at this point that woman had had her belly full, and they weren't going to take it any longer. Satan prepared his disciples well and anointed them with his own subtlety. Oh, they weren't going to crash on the scene with drums a-pounding and horns a-wailing. No, sir. Take it slow and easy. Let us start with the right to smoke. Aha! The right to smoke. Aha! Success! That was easy. Now, the right for women to vote. Bingo! Haven't quite gotten rid of them old Catholic expressions. Laws were challenged, folks, and laws were changed. God's word was either modified or set aside. Women would now use the very laws that they had enacted to provide them with the power they wanted so desperately. The male-female roles began to shift. Mr. Mom was born and dear old dad was labeled a male chauvinist pig. Churches throughout the land became panic-stricken and began to revise the male-female role in the halls of worship. Women no longer had to cover their heads. Dresses got shorter, and so did their hair. And for many, so did that fuse called patience. People, we call Hitler a fanatical murderer. He exterminated 6 million of God's elect in the ovens of Auschwitz, Treblinka, and Bergen-Belsen. What is this in comparison to what is happening today? For the human ovens of today's ungodly women have exterminated far beyond all the dictators of history. Lord God, have mercy. What about what the Lord should do today is what He did in Genesis 20:18. Close up all the wounds. But is that the answer God wants? No. What God wants is for us to willingly trust and obey, for there's no other way. You know what's wrong with the world today? I think where there's vanity, there's insanity. Instead of what we need, purity and Christianity. Oh, you're going to say, hey, preacher, you're awfully rough with your talk against women. Maybe I am, people. But you try telling that to a third trimester infant who's having his head crushed with and his limbs torn apart by the uncaring hands of some abortion clinic atheist. Oh, God, Lord God, what have we become? Though my bones may be crushed and my limbs yanked from their sockets and my flesh ripped and strewn asunder, can no one hear my agonizing cries from within my dear mother's womb? My friends, I will close with this. October 5th. Today my life began. My parents do not know it yet. I am as small as the pollen of a flower. But it is I already. I will be a boy. I will have blonde hair and blue eyes. Nearly everything is settled already, even that I shall love puppy dogs. October 19th. I have grown a little, but I am still too small to do anything by myself. My mother does almost everything for me, though she still does not know that she is carrying me under her heart. But is it true that I am not a real person? That only my mother exists? I am a real person. Just as a small crumb of bread is still bread. My mother is, and I am. October 23rd. My mouth is just now beginning to open. Just think, in a year or so, I'll be laughing, and later I'll start to talk. My first word will be, Mama. October 25th. Today, my heart began to beat. It will beat softly for the rest of my life, never stopping. After many years, it will stop, though, and then I shall die. November 2nd. I am growing continually. My arms and legs are taking shape, but I must wait a long time before these tiny legs will raise me up to my mother's arms, before these little arms will be able to conquer the earth and befriend people. November 12th. Tiny fingers are beginning to form on my hands. How small they are. One day I'll stroke my mother's hair to my mouth, and she'll say, oh, dirty. November 20th. Only today the doctor told my mother that I am living here under her heart. How happy she must be. Are you happy, mother? November 25th. My mother and father are probably thinking about a name for me, and they don't even know that I'm a little boy. so they are probably calling me names like Barbara or Andy or Charlie. Oh, I'm growing so big. December 10th. My hair is growing. It is as bright and shiny as the sun. I wonder what kind of hair my mother has. December 13th. I am almost able to see, though it is night around me. When Mother brings me into the world, it will be full of sunshine and overflowing with flowers. I have never seen a flower, you know, but more than anything, I want to see my mother. How do you look, Mother? December 24. I wonder if my mother hears the delicate beat of my heart. Some children are born with sickly hearts, and then the gentle fingers of the doctor perform miracles to make them healthy. But my heart is healthy. It beats so evenly. Tup, 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 tup. You shall have a healthy son, Mother. December 28th. Today, my mother killed me.
I want to thank you folks for listening to this message today. I pray that it strikes home with you and helps us better to understand our relationship with God, and especially when it comes to little children still inside the womb and how precious they are to our Lord. I pray that this will have an effect on all who listen, and I pray you will tell your friends as well to listen in to Battle Site for Christ and look it up. It's Aborting the Spirit. Again, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.